Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. It's me, Smiley, doing the hosting, and I'm joined by Corey, Van Gelder, and Crack. Hey!
Why?
Wait.
This dude.
So for the people who are listening on audio, Crack is wearing a chef's hat today. I don't know what Crack is coming to cook on the episode today, but Crack is wearing a chef's hat. But before I go into whatever reason it is that he's wearing the chef's hat, let me just give this announcement for those who haven't been paying attention. Our social media account, our Twitter account, got suspended earlier this week. So
attacked.
First of all, we've not gotten any report or information on why the account was suspended. We have our suspicions. Our suspicions relating to conversations we had on our last episode about a certain team in London that wears blue.
You are insulting your Chelsea player who feels this isn't right. You go to Ghana. You dey show Fofana how make you feel about something against him. I used to be. And you have well-respected journalists chiming in saying this. I'm so disappointed. Because you love Chelsea.
Plus Enzo. No, because you take picture plus Enzo, he never be racist. How he be racist?
Way he take the picture plus Enzo. You know the one way he vex me? The one way then try FaceTime and where he sleep, where he wake up. Everyone knows.
Wait, he says sick of that one.
Everybody knows I'm the biggest Enzo fan. So I know you all are waiting for me to come and talk. Okwasia. Who they wait for you to come and talk? You they can't. See, I mean, there are no one reacting. Like, I was so disappointed that they even had the effrontery to open a space to talk about this and to defend Enzo. Lastly, before I go, it's a match made in heaven. We all know the history of Chelsea. We all know the history. We all know them. It's nothing new. They are racist. Their most respected captain is racist. I mean, they always ban fans from being racist. It's in their culture. But then again, blacks have done more for them than anybody.
We had a conversation about Chelsea and Enzo Fernandez's situation last week. And after that, we posted a few snippets on our Twitter. Shortly after those snippets were posted, we got suspended. So yeah, at the moment, we don't know what is going on. We don't know how soon we'll get the accounts back. But for the meantime, you can follow our other social media pages. On Instagram, it's ATWPodcastGCR. On TikTok, it's After the Whistle. And then you can also subscribe to our YouTube for updates and stuff, because at the moment, the Twitter is indisposed. And then also, you can also follow the Gold Coast Report on Instagram and on Twitter. They are a production network hosting sites. So yeah, they'll also be posting updates on our behalf. So yeah, enough of the pleasantries and formalities. Crack, also.
Oh, you introduce them and give me 10 minutes.
It looks like Crack is not ready. So Corey, what go on?
Dude, man, I'm all right. I'm just a little peeved that Chelsea fans can't take me. I'll talk to them. I mean, Chelsea fans can't take the heat. I don't know whether they think this is a war or something, but bruh, we're just stating facts. If you can't take the heat, you just keep scrolling, bruh. It's really not that deep. But I mean, we welcome your annoyance. It doesn't piss us off. So feel free, man.
So, our resident Chelsea fan, any comments on these attacks that you're receiving?
Come to the front of the class.
We don't even start yet. People just throw jabs at your direction. So, what's up?
Good evening to all our listeners. I hope everybody is doing well and had a pleasant week.
There's nothing good about the evening. Get to the point.
There's nothing good.
First of all, I want to start by saying, please, some people say we be media house. We are not a media house. A bunch of friends that talk about football and talk about our clubs and our, you know, basically when we come here, it's a hate watch. We are coming to make reports on our hate watching. So please don't hold us to the standards of media houses. I understand that some people might say sometimes some of the words some of us use might be a bit spicy. But if you go TV room or something, more people, they use even worse spicy words for them. So please don't hold us to the standards of a media house. Our ardent listeners understand fully that agenda delayed is not agenda denied. And that's why we are here. For the Chelsea fans, personally, everybody has their own attachment to the club. So I can't tell anybody how to feel about what was said, what was not said, what was implied last week. But it wasn't cool for you to report our Twitter channel. And now basically we kind of have to fight back for it. Took us a lot of effort to build that channel. So it would be cool to say, just sick of them this way once, you know, all of a sudden. Every four businesses are the disaster now. You know, I mean, technically they don't have a lot of fans, but that's fine. So they know they'll be attacking me, but that'd be cool. So yeah, hello to everybody.
See, enough of the diplomacy. The standard way you won't hold we to go ask City FM and things, say, make them you show the same level of professionalism and things. Censorship no day here. We know they come here come talk on our mind. We know they come here come appeal to anybody in like we know they come satisfy anybody in feelings or anything. If something enter on our head, we go talk. So make it come out for there. We know they care about what you want, make we talk and things. We know they come here, come do any PG-13 things for here. And they beg one. So
basically what I talk, you know, being now with Smiley, just expand on I'm giving.
Charlie. Then first, I will come out to you from these things, as you say, no. You'll be part of the ops, and you're my brother, but I'm sorry I have to do this. I'm sorry. When you were talking, you were like, whatever was said or implied. No, it wasn't implied. It wasn't implied. It was actually said. I'm with Jimmy, and I'm retreating it. They are fools. You are saying the BBC and the 1-1 will not be like that. When you create a media house, employers, right, give us a contract. When we sign, then you can detect to us on what not to say, what to say, what's morally right, what's morally wrong. Here, it be agenda podcast. If you not stand the heat, fuck off. We were talking about racism. You can see what I'm wearing. Say no to racism. We take it seriously here. I am wearing my chef hat because I can't cook with people for 10 minutes. Anyways, as you said, let's try to be like BBC, right? And let's go with facts and not agenda. So sometimes when you are going to cook, you show recipe videos, right? You see, when you're shooting the recipe videos, you stay step one, step two, step three, right? Then you go to everything, right? But in the beginning, before you do the video, you show the finished product, made them know what you they can cook, right? Before you go into the step. So say no to racism. That be the title on our YouTube. You understand? Anyways, 1995, Jimmy Agri. The Athletic, May 28, 2024, posted an article. Jimmy Agri finally speaks. He spoke about the culture of bullying and racism in the Chelsea Football Club. He spoke about it. He finally spoke out. A black man. Monday, 7 February, 2022, it was published again. Chelsea settled historical racist abuse case brought by four former youth players. May 14, 2021, The Athletic again. Chelsea accused of taking a 180-degree turn in racism case after they publicly promised to support the boys. 3rd January, 2017, ESPN. Four Chelsea football fans have been convicted of racist violence and given suspended prison sentences after a black commuter was pushed off a metro carriage. ESPN again, March 24th, 2015. Chelsea fans involved in the most racist incidents on train. A case study was done and it was found out that Chelsea fans were the leading racist fans in England. After that that train case happened, they investigated. And the gap between you and number two, no joke, go and research. It's all there. You know, you just Google Chelsea racism cases. Google is your friend. All the articles will come out. They will be handed. I know you're right. Some goes as far back as 1960. Then you know, I know you're right about them. But I just wanted to highlight this fight.
World War times.
Oh, my brother. Sunday. I said Sunday. So, 11th April 2019, that's time. They published by Dave Kidd. Mo Salah was caught here. Raheem Sterling was caught here, all by Chelsea fans. And I read, let's make no bones about this. Chelsea Football Club have a serious, deep-rooted, generations-old problem with racism. Right? Chelsea have a serious, deep-rooted, generation-old problem with racism. It's time for them to prove otherwise. Dave Kidd published... what was the time save they published? 8 p.m., 8:38 p.m., 11th April, 2019. He did it. And it was updated on the 12th April, 2019. He did it. Go search. And let me shortlist them. The latest incident involving Chelsea versus saw fans saying that Mo Salah was a bomber. Oh. Because he was Muslim. They called him a bomber. Raheem Sterling abused by vile middle-aged hooligans. Anti-Semitic chanting and Nazi flag in Hungary just weeks after the abuse of Sterling had taken place in English football. Chelsea fans again, they go somebody in country, rather go pull Nazi flag. Imagine.
Hey, imagine. What you will not do is lie. What you will not do is lie.
And now, Mo Salah, secretly branded a bomber in Prague Bar. You know what that's me? It be global. Should I highlight this 5 incidents? Make you understand, say, it not just they happen for England. You guys, you buy what I just do? So if with the talk, say, you people have a history of being racist, it not be agenda. It be proving facts. It did there. See, it plenty. See, the Chelsea fans hate blacks. These Chelsea fans hate Jews. These Chelsea fans hate Muslims. Chetani Pono de discriminato. But you have to be black. You have to be Jew. You have to be Muslim. Do you see the correlation? No white man. Nope. Even a black man who is English, that wears your jersey safe. It's not safe from your own fans. There are so many, if I scroll, so many, like over 100. But I just highlighted these 5 ones. So when we are talking about this, I beg you, Antoine Ferdinand, what did he accuse John Terry of? So when we say your most reputable or respected captain was proven to be racist, I mean, was it a fact or it was a lie? I mean, Liverpool, yes, they supported Suarez. By the way, again, what is it doing, right? He went to Barcelona. He went to bite someone. He went to Uruguay. He went to bite someone. The trend was there. Biting racism. You can never run away. But you can't tell me this historic documentation of your racist ideology and your racist beliefs. I think when you create a pattern, that's who you are. You support a racist club where the fans are also racist. Because we're generalizing it. But they say, if you support somebody who clearly does wrongdoing, it says more about your character as well. So you Chelsea fans that are there, that you supported Enzo, that you supported Enzo against a black man, it is inherent in you that you people are racist. Even though you're Africans and Ghanaians, they're racist. Say no to racism. Thank you.
So, Vangelda, I'm guessing you have a response to what Crack just said to you and about your club.
First of all, I want to start by saying that and acknowledging that Chelsea does have a racism problem. It's very well documented. But I just want to tackle one particular element to what he said. That hungry thing. You know what Chelsea fans would do? The person who write that report, he knew what he was doing when he put that there. That was a way for an English game in Hungary. It was England versus Hungary. And it was Hungarian fans who were chanting and racially abusing Sterling. It wasn't Chelsea fans or English fans. So I beg you, let's correct that notion. Nobody say we left when our house go hungry to go boo them or something for that. That's
Hungarian fans, no. Well, but they wear Hungary jersey or
yes, it was Hungary. I remember this very well because like
they were wearing a Hungary jersey.
They were playing in Budapest. England versus Hungary. If you forget that, like go check.
Okay.
It was Hungary national team fans, like the Hungarians way then they there. No? If we then they boo. I think they even threw a banana or something at him. And I remember very well because like either Sterling said he won't play anymore or something crazy like that happened. And it became a big hula baloo. And Darren Lewis of the Mirror, I think he writes for the Mirror. He came out and said, what Sterling has gone through in Hungary is no different from what Sterling encounters on our Premier League clubs week in, week out. That the next match week, it was Man City versus Chelsea. I think either Chelsea was losing or no, we were winning. I think that was Frank Lampard's season.
Guys,
or something like
that. Guys, hey, cool down. Raheem Sterling, this thing they talk about, Raheem Sterling was playing for Man City. And it happened
at the time, yes.
City,
I remember
versus Chelsea.
Yes, but I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is that the hungry part will take him at it. Not be Chelsea fans then.
Okay, I digress, I take it away. So I replace it with the Sterling's time at City when Chelsea fans abused him.
And that was exactly what I said. It don't be right now. It don't be the same thing I talk. It don't be the same thing I talk. Ah, Smiley. It don't be in our
talk.
The game after the Hungary game, after Darren Lewis has said, it's not any different from what Sterling encounters on Premier League ground. The next game week, you know, it was City versus Chelsea, and he was abused at Stamford Bridge. I remember. I'm not saying that it's a lie.
Look at him. I started by acknowledging.
Oh, I said Ukraine. Yeah. Make a point again
for the people listening on audio. Crack is showing us evidence on screen of the racist abuse that Raheem Sterling received during his time at Man City against his current club, Chelsea.
Okay. So as I was saying, Chelsea does have a history of racism, and any Chelsea fan that does not want to acknowledge that. Is at best disingenuous and at worst a horrible human being. I don't want to use certain words for them, but they are a horrible human being. Okay. Look, but the club has done a lot, far more than actually most Premier League clubs through the Chelsea Foundation to tackle racism and anti-Semitism. When Roma.
A section of the Chelsea away supporters were condemned for anti-Semitic chants, right?
Anti-Semitic chants.
You did it right.
I don't really see the thing you post, but it'd be cool.
Point. You know what I see? Hey, Corey, Corey.
Smiley.
Corey, you can read, right? You make a tilt to this one, say. A section of the Chelsea away support were condemned for anti-Semitic chants, right?
I'm muted. Sorry. I've seen the team's name. I've seen the Chelsea. I don't need to see anymore. As long as the Chelsea...
And there's things I'll put a group chat inside. Make you see. You can see them well.
See, my point is, at the end of the day, I've acknowledged one thing, that Chelsea does have a history of racism. The other thing everybody here is failing to acknowledge is that Chelsea has actually done more than all your clubs when it comes to trying to roll back on that.
Too much is giving, much is expected. Now we are Kung Fu. I don't mean for reform. I know Nasalo. You've done more. Yes, you've also done more harm. There ain't nobody else.
That statement. As for that statement, there, it'd be null and void because if you combine all on our clubs right now, the two, Manchester United and
we
won't have the list. We won't have the list that you have. So just by that alone, just by that factor, of course you'll be expected to. Because you are the most
racist. Everybody, wow. You bet two. Why?
You bet two.
First of all, that is what the Chelsea fans can't take.
See you. If every day you alone, you crash your car. Right now, you say you spend more on car repairs than me with my car. All I've got to do be change the oil. Like, who told you to go crash your car?
Point is, my point is, Chelsea has done a lot to roll back on that image. They dole out some of the most stringent punishments against fans. Like this Sterling thing, those guys were banned from Stamford Bridge for life. Like, that is how serious Chelsea takes these issues. Do you understand? At the end of the day, I'm not going to sit here and defend Chelsea and say, oh, we are not racist. It's not true. Because that would be very disingenuous on my part.
Then that's so, let's move on.
And it's true. But I just know what we can take. Hungry fans, can mix Chelsea fans, then things that...
Okay. Cool down. Right? Right? I opened the article to show you. Wait till they there. The Hungarian ones they talk about be different, and that I take it away, but I replace them with you still being anti-Semitic. So that one too.
This is not going to be another Chelsea racism episode, even though there's a lot to unpack on that side. But let's move
on. Hello, one last thing, I beg you, one last thing. And to the Enzo guy, right, that feels confident enough to turn me out for a debate on spaces. What did you name me? I didn't explain to trolls. I didn't explain to anybody. I never ever explain to you. Anything you tell me, I never mind you. So what do I want to do to yourself? You are the one that reacted 5 times. You are the one that let niggas go to group chat and say, let's not bring this account to my business. You are the ones that have gone and come back, treated us, done everything, and then I say, and fine. You know they hurt me, you know they touch me. You see, open up my available. You get so many accounts, we can post them. New idea, I guess I take class for years or data. We post them. We are the only demonizer who's going to post them. Unless you block my accounts. I didn't say, you don't block myself. You don't block myself. See, you know, if you do this for people, I go cry. Would you mean it?
I finish.
So, moving on to the Olympic Games. Over the past week, we've seen. A poor showing from the Ghanaian athletes at the Olympics in the few events that we've participated in. I don't think it was unexpected, and I don't want to be unfair to the athletes because, Charlie, we didn't give them enough to demand anything from them. Whatever they bring is a bonus because, Charlie, they are performing on their own resources. They barely get any support from governments, and we are not coming to pile up on them or anything, but we'll just talk a bit about how we've performed. So in the high jump for the women's side, we saw Rose Yeboah failing to make the final. As I said on last week's episode, Rose Yeboah is one of the people who I had a lot of hope in because she's the world number 12 high jumper in the women's side. So it's something that I was hoping that at least she might be able to make the final. And the disappointing thing is that the height that she failed to clear is actually a height that she's cleared before. So I was expecting her to make the final, but unfortunately, maybe the nerves got to her. I don't know. And then on the... Yeah, thank you.
Mali, sorry. Is that not her personal best? The height she failed to clear, that's her personal best, no?
Yes.
Yeah, so for me, I think that it happens, right? Sometimes you have a personal best in a season, and then... In certain circumstances, let's not forget it's her first Olympics. I think she's just 22, so even though she couldn't get her personal best or whatever, I'm still very proud of her, especially from the point of view that She barely had any state support from all reports that we've read so far. She barely had any state support. Look, if we take someone like the lady that won the 100 meters for the woman, the girl from St. Lucia, bro, early this year, they said they gave her a diplomatic passport. This is way before the Olympics. And they said they will make all necessary funds. They gave her national funding. And she will have access to all the best facilities and everything. They gave her a diplomatic passport so that she can waste through airport security. So she know even waste time. The time we'll be there, that they do queue. Then she just pass diplomatic side. They go to the plane inside. Like, these are the things. There's a
serious
nothing
country.
Like,
a serious country.
Bro, there'll be 130,000 people. As she come Olympics, the top tier come 129,999. If somebody they left, counter day they reported and they check. They say, right now, 84 people left. When our numbers come down, before cool down, we know they sign as yet, then kind of things. So think about it. A small country where they get only 130,000 people are doing this kind of investments in the, what, maybe the only one athlete they probably, I don't know if they have other athletes. So please, if you are St. Lucia and you are listening, you have other athletes, please teach us. I mean, I don't know. But I think she's
they
the
tend
only
to
athlete.
Produce sprinters, but none at the
but
highest.
But when
level,
they recognize that this girl or this lady is very good at what she does, look at what the government went out of their way to do for her so that she can succeed. This will not be luck. It not be Yameya Aduma, like by God's grace. It not be we Yesra Abain say we beg the government that no. It is preparation, hard work. And don't forget, she went up against Sha'Carri Richardson, who most people were expecting to win that race because the Jamaicans were not there. Do you understand? So look at, contrast that to our athletes. Me, the fact that even Azamati Dems even made semifinal, whether they chew or they no chew, they didn't make it. Don't, Azamati Dems, where they make up to semifinal, that's the first Ghanaian to semifinal since 2004. Since 2004. Let's not forget that football to the last time when we go Olympics be 2004.
Years.
So it is ridiculous for anybody to expect that they will go to the Olympics and be amazing when they are competing against people whose funding for the past 4 years ran into hundreds of thousands and sometimes even millions of dollars.
Not worth the sports minister for getting cut. National Athletics Association to forget.
Let me provide a little context too for Azamati's situation. When he ran his personal best, which is I think 9.90, at the time he was still in college in the US. So he was performing on the resources the college was providing for him. I think now he's completed college, so he's now depending more on the Ghanaian government and his personal resources, his endorsement deals and all of that.
I think he has an endorsement from ASICS or somebody like that.
He has a good endorsment deal. So
bro, listen,
it shows you the difference from when he moved from having the backing of the US college to now having the backing of the Ghanaian government. So yeah, continue.
Look, do you know that for most athletes, unless they make it to the Olympics and they make it to a certain range, they don't get sponsorship. If you now go take your money, pay for meets, you go take your money, pay for PT. If you hurt, you now go take your money. So imagine, say, you know they country where and get like maybe free healthcare or something. In somebody then they call and I see some guy in name be typical Ghanaian name. Say a free foul or some crazy blessing, something the guy they run for Israel. Wallahi. That guy no visually. But Ghana government cannot sponsor him. So since he was maybe his father and mother went to Israel, he was doing 1-2-1-2. They saw he can run this or they saw he can do high jump or something. They said, this guy is good. Let's take him up. And then they sponsored him and now he has made it to Olympics. Like, we should be having a lot more athletes, a lot more competitors. The fact that we had zero representatives in boxing should tell us where we are at. Boxing, we go take go, even if we go to quarter final.
But
or something.
I get question. In Obi right now, we do African games where the Ghanaian Tridentals. The African games, the problem is that
it's not low, but most of them didn't make the what they won in the African games. They did not meet up to the what they are supposed to do.
With the dry sugar quota, Kadman Yamwa, he was the African Games champion in the high jump. He couldn't make it. Like, at least me, I would expect that if you are the African Games champion,
if you go to that level,
at least reach semi-final or something. But the fact that our champion is not able to make it even to the Olympics to qualify at all, it tells you that the standard is low.
What did he win by?
In the 100 meters, the African champion is the one, the Kenyan guy, the one who we bowl like, so I forget the name. He also couldn't make the final of the 100 meters. He also couldn't make the final of the 100 meters. Like, the African games, yes, is nice. We had a good time. We managed to, apart from all the other silly things that we did in terms of organization, we managed to sweep up a few medals. But like Crack keeps saying, it was because of home support. But like our standard, the general African game standard is very low. And the Ghanaian standard too is also very low. And then also more on Benjamin Azamati. Another reason why you shouldn't be too hard on him is that one special thing about this 100-meter final is that it's the first 100-meter final in history where people have run below 10 seconds in the semifinal and not qualified to the final. Previously, if you run below 10 seconds, you make it to the final. But there are people who run 9.9 something where they still don't reach the final. So if you tell you that even the standard of the 100-meter final, it's probably the highest standard we might have seen. And that's the special thing about the final. So like even the Usain Bolt era, and since it never happened. So if you tell you that maybe, yes, Usain Bolt's level is higher than the level of the best person right now. But the people at the bottom level, they to them are level higher past whoever they are at the bottom at the time. So yeah, it's much harder to qualify for the final now. So yeah.
And by the way, the African guy is called Ferdinand Omanyala.
Yes, Ferdinand. The way he bought, yeah, the 100 meter runner, but yeah,
that really.
So yeah, Azamati was unable to make it to the final. Abdul Rashid Saminu also made it to the semi-final of the 100 meter heat, but he was also unable to make it to the final. But at least having two Ghanaians make it to the semi-final gives me hope for the 4x100 meter relay, because Jopor Amuatu is also a very good 100 meter runner, even though he chooses not to compete in 100 meters for some reason in these games. So going into the 4x100, I think I have a lot of hope that we can make it at least to the final of that one. Maybe have an outside chance of making it to top four, top three, safe. Then finally, Harry Stacey too also failed to make it to the swimming final. He was also last in his heat. It's not unexpected, because in the end, like you guys are saying, we are not supporting the people, and we are going up against people who they compete in every tournament leading up to the Olympics. Then unless Olympics come, how many times do we even hear about these sports in the news? Like, people are competing in Diamond League, they are going to World Championships, they are going to the small meets in Russia and Denmark and all over the place. But Ghana, we don't really hear of our athletes competing in these things until it comes to the Olympics. So the level of experience, even if you are doing well in the smaller meets and stuff, people forget that a lot of nerves come into play when you get to the Olympics.
Because the big stage, maybe, man.
Abdul Rashid Saminu apparently was doing very well on the NCAA level. That's a USA college level. But imagine that's what you are used to. Suddenly you come into a locker room preparing and you're going up against Noah Laos and all these other big names that you only see them on TV. So the nerves are coming to play. I think we downplay that effect. But yeah, Crack, any thoughts on the Ghanaian athletes so far, what we've seen from...
I actually like us. What you said, because that's what I wrote. Inexperience and nerves played a big factor here, because look, you being there for the first time hits differently. And they are also Africans and Ghanaians. How long will we have this attitude of Atunayi? How long will we rely on people just because they are Ghanaians for us to benefit from them? We are all Ghanaians in the flag. Well, we have zero contribution to where they've gotten to. Zero contribution to their preparation. nothing at all. Why? For how long would they have to go to foreign universities for better training, for better equipment, for better life, better coaches? Why must it be every day? Go to the US, go to the UK, go and do this, go and do that, and come back. And what hurts me is that when they come back safe, they still don't come back to even mid-level conditions here. The first time they built something better was the Legon track and field. This one that they did, that was actually good. That was the only first thing they did. And that one still safe, didn't still meet the standard. No, I'm talking about during the games, the All African games, because people actually, no, it wasn't just the Ghanaians that were praising it. Most of the Africans that came, they criticized a lot of things, but that one in Kwandi, you understand, you had a place where you could warm up. You had a track where you could warm up and all those things. Like,
have you seen it recently after the games?
Oh, no. That one there, the sustenance coach idea, we know we don't have it. That one there, we already predicted it. That all these things were going to go into shit. They lie with the money. We don't even want, let's not even focus on that, right? Personally, me, I don't have any criticism for them. For 20 years, we've not been there.
At all.
And they go to the semifinals. Bro, they go to the semifinals. They were almost there. For first timers. This is what I always talk about. When people are making arguments, they forget the advancement of the sports now. All right. The kind of research that goes into sports now, the kind of equipment made available to you to learn, the kind of regime you've put on right, like you are put on right now to better yourself. It keeps on improving year as the years goes on. You have superhumans that, like, we have transcendent athletes, sports personalities, and everything that in every era, when you put them there, they can succeed. All right? Like the Usain Bolts, the Johnsons, people that they are exceptional in any era. Like even when we talk about basketball, Michael Jordan, there are some people that they are so great that in any era you put them, they can adapt to the era. But the level of competition is far better than it was before. Because how are we having people running sub 10 from the quarterfinals? We had people via 9.5 and they still couldn't make it to the finals. Like, you know how crazy that is? Even in the 1,500 meters or something like that, I watched that this one. And they said that was the fastest they've ever run. Not even Selassie and Kua has even done that too. As at 400, as at 1,000, they were running the fastest time they've ever seen in the 1,500. That lets you know the kind of athletes from the swimming and everyone. That lets you know the kind of athletes that are competing now. How level the playing field is. So when they are doing well, yes, they might not break some of the world record and all those. Some are being broken, some are not being broken. But the level of competition we are seeing here, bro. They're swimming, right, in the river one. I've forgotten the name. They compared it to 1930-something or something like that, right? The one that was last in 2024 would have been first in 1930-something. So that makes you understand right now the level of athletes we are producing now is mad. This is the closest 100-meter finals I've ever seen. Like, closest I ever saw. Azamati, all of them, they've done well. I don't have any in this one because Ghana didn't play any role in it. They didn't. They've done well. I don't have any criticism for them. Yes, he might not have met his personal best. He ran 10-18, went to write whatever the stats are. I don't have, because, bro, getting there, that crowd and everything, people forget that he also suffered two injuries, major injuries, years back. People forget that as well. Still came back, qualified, got there to the semifinals. I don't have anything against them at all. Rosie, bro, I mean, I don't see any Ghana high jumper. All the high jumping we do for high school, everything, no, they don't go anywhere. So, me, what they've done,
the mattress
well.
F he had. If you fall top, you know, fall down well.
Die! You never see one. You could not just, they say, we could not wash your dirty laundry as you give them. If you watch what they jump and they did the photo for Ghana, we could not even start there. Me, my problem is,
me, I the guy, what they for a country. Quarter, so it'd be cool.
for a country where we are in debt, man-made debt, why can't we invest in things that will help us? My own be say, you just do some, then chop some. But you know, you could do them at all, then use semantics insult on our intelligence. How hard it is for you to actually invest? You know, this Boteman place that they built, right? Then start take do give church people. May they do church and things for them. Ordinary citizens, if we won't go play tennis and things, go use the court. Then they prevent it. But then rent give churches and things. Do you think it is going to last? We use Accra Sports Stadium for events and things. When people talk about Wembley and things, it's always funny for me. Already your league that you are playing, the pitch no good, but you somehow think after an event it will be made better. If they talk, they say Wembley and things, and they do shows and things for them, why? But you are ignorant and things. Oh, okay. Let's try and give best pitch takers award in Ghana. You see the way people they trim United. See the way they take them with passion and they give award for the best pitches, right? Then they give them award. Can we try that in Ghana? Can we?
Well, let me just say that actually the club licensing committee say if they actually enforce all CAF rules, no pitch in Ghana will meet standards for them to play Ghana Premier League. So then for technically bend some of the rules, give some of the just then go get home.
And you see, and me my only say, if I be saying it, that is fine, no. But Accra Sports Stadium is used by House of Oak, right? Oyinijan, Baba Yara is used by Kotoko. And these are our main stadiums that we use for friendlies and matches, right? So I better go, if even the clubs not fit take off, you, the sports minister, what are you doing? Every day when they come pray friendly, see when I pitches. How you don't want to make these Ghanaians play Zambia and qualify the Black Queens? How you want me to play them qualify to Olympics? How you want me to do? To me, I'm just happy they made Ghana proud. They've made me personally proud. I clap to them. Exceptionally, they've done well. And I just don't want people to attack them, mock them and things, because we have the 4x100 to run. I just want them to know that we support them and we are behind them and they can do something there because they are good. That team is good. And I believe they can do something, just like Smiley said. I just want them to make it to the finals. Even if they are last in the final, I just want us there. That is all I have to say for now.
All I'll also add is that this is a kind of like a wake-up call. I know the country is hard, and most people don't even have the energy.
Oh, massa, wake up for what? How many wake up calls?
No.
Now, Snow White said wake up. Snow White said wake up.
Wake up, finish my point. I feel like this. The point is, a lot of people, the All Africa Games, because a lot of people knew it was happening, found out it was happening in Ghana, the support was a bit more massive. But now that the Olympics is not happening in Ghana, it's like, it feels like not a lot of people are giving the support to the athletes that, you know, they should. That's all I'm pointing out, that like it's a wake up call. Like when people go for Olympics, let's take the chance to support them. It doesn't matter if they win or not. We don't reach anywhere where we go if we win something. We short put self, we know if we win. Because all these Bolero people, then they take them away, sank.
On Saturday, we go if we win, if we go.
Okay, so before we move on from the Olympics topics, let's talk a bit about Novak Djokovic, who finally secured
the gold medal. We won't talk about anybody. Let's move on. Quick.
Secured a gold medal in the Olympics. So right now, he's completed the...
So why you never tell me, say we could talk about this?
You jump.
This one is just by... It's just by... I'm just saying it's by... Just to give acknowledgement to the greatest tennis player of all time.
Yes, we can hear you, Corey. We can hear. We want your take on the Ghanaians. Yes.
Yeah, take
the topic. The current topic. We don't want the current topic.
Take it away. Don't talk about tennis.
I just had a quick visit. I had a quick visit from ECG. My take on the Ghanaian athletes: nothing, absolutely nothing but plaudits. They are almost doing us a favor by just attaching the Ghanaian name to theirs and taking us to the Olympics. They're almost doing us a favor. Some will say they couldn't qualify for the countries in which they trained because of the other athletes and things. But brother, Ghana has almost no right to claim them. They're supposed to be giving them his cause, Charlie. They feel them say they're attached from one name, so we'll big them up. These niggas managed to get to a semi-final on their first run at the Olympics with absolutely, it's not even exaggerated, zero help. Zero help from the country. If you ever have a chance to see athletes train for the Olympics from other countries, be it from Sweden, from I don't even want to even just pick the Western world. There are other Thailand and things, all of these countries, these Asian sub countries and things, everybody they force for the athletes. Everybody they try give some form of help to them. These guys have had no help and they have gone miles. Like, they've gone further than we even expected. Our swimmer that chopped last, Charlie, big ups, bro. Straight big ups. It never be easy. The high jump lady who also couldn't make it with her personal best and things, Charlie, no. They have nothing to stand on here. Everything they stand on is on themselves. So, for them to even achieve what... Even their ticket to the Olympics, I should say, if they're not Dembia. So, even just by that little... The little that the country claimed, they were write their names down that they're representing this kind of country. No, if that'd be all we do for them. If it depend on their registration, because right now when they take people to countries, then they lost. So big ups to these guys for not vanishing in Paris and going and doing the whole as far as they could. So me, as Craig said, have nothing but plaudits for them. Big ups to them. I applaud them. I hope In another 4 years, you go again and you go strong. Hopefully, no, never mind. I was going to say hopefully, but there's no hope. So I just pray that in the 4 years, you will get something better to stand on, take carry you, go further, because there's nothing here. So yeah, that's just my take on it. As for the Olympics, as for this country, I'm done, bro. So yeah.
You know why they laugh? Because when I was making my submission, I literally said, "This one will not be." I pray that my boy can be said. We pray that never.
Every time we come back to this one, we pray that this, if God willing, and this thing is.
Hey,
it's only prayer that can help us.
Oh, the people that's supposed to
be helping us. If they don't collect their cut, that's what it is. Get an athletic association for collect them a cut. Sports minister too for collecting cards. Where would they get the funding to go? Where people are building houses and buying generators.
So anyway, just quickly once again, shout out to Novak Djokovic for completing the set, set.
Fuck off, quick. Fuck off.
Now secured every single grand slam.
Stop right there. What's the meaning of this rubbish?
An Olympic gold medal.
We don't want to hear it.
Undisputed.
We don't want to hear it.
Undisputed. We don't want to hear it, man.
We're making it last.
Land anywhere. We say we don't want to talk about this topic.
You see,
you ambush people as this topic. You know, tell we make we prepare. We don't want to start nothing. Just want
to interrupt you or not.
I don't want to hear anything.
The fans are in the ground.
Move on.
So media, I go leave you. Give Komo. You know, maybe I go leave you.
Make Komo to fuck off.
So yeah. At this juncture, let me just say once again, if you haven't done this, please follow our social media accounts, because right now it's very necessary. Follow our other social media accounts, the Instagram, ATW Podcast GCR, TikTok, After the Whistle, until the Twitter account hopefully comes back, actually. That's where we'll be posting a lot of updates and stuff. And then also, if you are listening to this episode and you want to contribute, since the Twitter account is not there, you can use the hashtag ATW Podcast and just contribute, say whatever you have to say. And also, you can also follow our personal accounts for updates and stuff like that. And if you are watching on YouTube as well, please remember to subscribe and like, and can drop comments if you feel like it. Or yeah. So moving on.
So Smiley, hold on one second. Before you move on, talk about YouTube. We appreciate the hate watch. It's been brilliant. Once you're there, just leave a like for.
In fact, subscribe and watch more.
For friends. Yeah, subscribe and watch more. If we can do more hits, we never bore.
Yeah.
For the last episode, we had a lot of hate watchers on the YouTube channel, probably from the Chelsea camp. As you guys know, we've been trying to grow the YouTube because it's still fairly new.
And this is how you know Chelsea is the best club ever. Because immediately we came on board. Look at our numbers. All I'm saying, when we're talking about
how would you guys do this? I wanted you guys to avoid this.
It wasn't happening.
Please.
My Chelsea fans decided that
you should have done on looking. Just look at this.
Look, willed.
You could have avoided this.
Ballon d'Or podium before. We can will ATW.
We could have avoided this.
We can look. In fact, you know what?
I'm sorry.
All the Chelsea fans, we want to hit 1,000 subscribers
by
the end of September. All the Chelsea fans. We want to hit 1,000 subscribers.
I wanted to avoid this end of September.
I believe in you guys. I believe in the dream. I believe in the vision. I believe that you can help us do it. Let's go.
Okay. And also, since the Apple Podcast and Spotify too is still there, so if you are the type who prefers to listen on audio to Charlie, that's our main place where we have most of our subscribers and stuff. So you can subscribe at any point. So moving on, finally. We are still in preseason mode. Actually, preseason is wrapping up because the Community Shield is this coming weekend. Over the past week, we've seen the Community Shield is this coming weekend. So the season,
football is back.
Yeah. So over the past week, we've seen the big Premier League teams on their US tours and stuff, and we've seen some interesting results, particularly from the Chelsea again and Man United camps. Over the past week, we saw Liverpool lashing Man United 3-0. Chelsea also lost to Man City 4-2. And besides that, Chelsea have also lost, I think, 4-1 to Celtic. They drew 2-2 with Wrexham. They've had some very iffy results during this preseason. And considering the fact that they have a new manager, we're expecting new things from them. But it looks like it's the same old Chelsea. But I don't know whether Van Gaal has something different to say, whether it's just pre-season, as they usually say, whether it's early days, the manager is now trying to get the team to play a new style of football, so we shouldn't read too much into the results, or whether there's something more to the results that we are not seeing, actually.
I don't think there's much more to the results than what you're seeing. The manager is teaching the players how he wants them to play. There are some mistakes. I personally think there are certain ways that the manager wants to play that might not suit the way the team is built. So he likes man-to-man pressing. I'm not keen on that. I think because most of the players they're not very good at the whole pressing game. It's not been drilled in them, so they are not very good at it. And if you go man-to-man pressing in the league, bro, a lot of teams know how to play combination football now. They will just play rotations around you, 3, 4, 5 touches per player or amongst themselves, and then they will create some space and then they are gone. Also, there's this defensive high line that we've been playing, almost like Tottenham's, not as ridiculous as Tottenham's own, but it's quite similar or quite close actually. And we don't have defenders that can recover as quickly as someone like, say, Van de Ven. So that might be something that he needs to watch as well. And then they're playing out from the back. They've not mastered it yet. They've not perfected it yet. So that's causing a lot of problems, actually. The first two goals from City yesterday were both because they were trying to play out of the back. The first one was some very iffy penalty. I don't even know how that's a penalty. And then the second one, basically, a misplaced pass goes to Haaland and he puts it away. In the second half, too, same thing. Tries to play out over the back. It gets to the middle. Somebody, poor touch, it goes off. They score two goals in like 5 minutes or something like that. Largely, the team is beginning to pick up the way the manager wants them to attack. So the attack is quite fluid. They're creating a lot of chances. Watch out for Nkunku this season. As far as he stays fit, we will really see the actual Nkunku that everybody expected that he'll do well. Like, I don't think anybody here denies that he's a quality player, right? And I think next season, this coming season, he'll do really well for us. Lavia is back, looking really good in preseason as well. I just need those that were unfit and injured all of last season to just stay fit. And then I think we still need a striker. There's rumors that we want to pick up Osimhen on loan with probably an option to buy. Osimhen and his apparently
his agents has already come out.
To make you come up for them. Kwasi, you go sign suicide Osimhen contract. You go sign suicide contract plus what be the guy name? Aurelio De Laurentiis. You be weird. Conte says that.
So Chelsea, how many people you put one sign? Because you people keep saying so you need this, you need that. Nkunku be what? It be pillar. Jackson be pillar.
Nkunku's not a striker though.
Gui that you go sign, it be pillar.
18. I don't.
It not be he score against.
Mind you, I think for people to understand this craziness, Chelsea have a squad depth of 40 plus players. United have 20 something.
They are adding players.
Thank you. Continue.
Don't even play for us, including Kellyman, who is like 17 and plays for under 21s. But okay, go off.
And what is he talking about?
If we count United the players, will they add your academy players? Then things all add or what?
You get right now. No, you get 40 players. No, will you then and realize? Cool down. Cool down. If then they count United players, then they count players you go by yourself when you push to a Canada.
Then they count Obi Martin when you
yes, buy from a Canada. They are in. Yes. Then they part. Where will be like 28 lie. Or so.
You see.
Yes, I'm serious.
It's just a lie because
what are you talking about? Varane left in contract and who did we go?
So, all of a sudden, you signed
who go for it?
I didn't
mention players who have left that we didn't even sell.
Did he leave on a free? Did you sell him?
Are you listening to me? I am saying that even if, look, they've added Obi and whoever one will be signed for the Arsenal striker and things, right? Mm-hmm. He's been projected to be our test striker. Smiley, are they lying?
Yeah, apparently that's what he was promised.
They've already added him. And all I'm saying is, last season you buy like 20 something players. This season too, you already start, you buy like 5 or 6.
That's not true.
They're 20, no. They're still there, they're nowhere to go.
That's not true. We didn't
buy. Listen, they're 20 you buy, no. Who go? The 20 you buy last season, who go?
I have to think about it. I know. What have we sold so far?
Nonsense.
Thiago Silva is gone. Thiago Silva is gone. We've sold.
I said the 20 we buy last season, Hugo. I said last season, Hugo.
The 20 we buy last season. Like, first of all, I don't think we bought 20 players. Please, let's be guided. Let's be very guided. Secondly, January, who did we sign in January? Who?
Oh, Kuna, for the past 2 years, the players you buy, who go? Kuna, for the past 2 years.
Who did we sign in
general? For the past 2 seasons.
Who did we sign in general?
Relax. Make it run away.
You said last season. We buy 20.
Yeah, last season, Jerry. You go sign Pierre from Brazil. You go sign Pierre from Brazil. I forget your name.
Tell me all the players.
In the past two seasons, The players you buy on Ugo.
In the past 2 seasons. Koulibaly them, so it'll not be 2 seasons ago we buy them. Them all left.
What but damn? You buy only 2 seasons ago.
We buy Koulibaly.
What but damn? Koulibaly buy only 2 seasons ago.
Oh, Basa, last season, wait. Last season, we were, that'd be Poch. 2 seasons ago, not be Tuchel in season, be that. You said 2 seasons ago, where we go sign.
2 seasons ago, we took a left, punish you. 2 seasons ago, we took a left, punish you. If you took a left, but ago, you didn't the Brighton Poch come, you didn't write your own, eh?
You see, I catch you. The Brighton coach, it don't be too good. You can't replace him. Hello. Quick, answer me quickly. Come to answer the question, quick. The Brighton coach, it don't be too good. You can't replace. I don't want to hear it. Yes or no? Answer
before
me.
Before we wrap up the conversation, I just want to talk about Chelsea again.
See, you don't make her finish my point. Preseason. You just hijack my point. You don't make her finish my point.
I beg you. We are spending too much time on Chelsea.
Let's talk about Man United and how Liverpool just
you
slapped
relax.
You
relax. Before we move to Man United.
Oh, sorry.
Before we move to Man United, in Chelsea's midfield, so far in the few games we've seen Romeo Lavia have some impressive performances. And looking at how well he gels with Caicedo and what he would bring to the team as opposed to what a person like Enzo, the racist, according to people, not me saying it, that's what people see. What Enzo the racist brings to the team. Do you foresee a situation where Enzo is shifted out of the starting 11 because the pairing of Caicedo and Lavia might be better moving forward?
Yeah, I think that is a genuine possibility. If I think, and truthfully, Enzo has just played, I think, two games so far in preseason. Caicedo has played one. So there's still time for them to build fitness, learn more about the coach's formation, tactics, and everything. But on the balance of things as we speak at the moment, between the three of them, Enzo is the more likely to be dropped to the bench. Between the three of them, right? But then on the other hand, an unfit Caicedo is like... When Caicedo is unfit, it's very glaring because he makes a lot of mistakes when he's unfit. So as he builds the fitness, maybe in that time, it'll be Eden Enzo.
Guys. Sorry about this one thing. Before you continue, I hate lies. Today, I came with a fact checker. This guy was calling me out and shouting with the nonsense. Chelsea manager 2022 to 2023, Graham Potter became Chelsea head coach in September 2022, replacing Thomas Tuchel. Tuchel rather replaced Graham Potter. That's not what I said.
I said that Tuchel was the manager. Where he say, what about the guy from Brighton? I said, but the guy from Brighton took over from Tuchel.
No, that's not what he said. You said 2 seasons ago. Relax. Cool down.
You can't know how my team goes more than me, bro. The time where Graham Potter came, first of all, the summer transfer window had already ended. He came either mid.
Yeah, so he bought players for him.
No, we bought
players for Tuchel. Ended.
We bought players for Tuchel.
No, you bought players for... In January, you buy players for Potter too. Are they lying?
We did not buy players for Potter. They bought players. Full stop. Therefore, no, they there. They just bought players. They bought players. No, it be true. They just bought... For instance, let me give you a typical example. Do you know that Graham Potter did not want a smiling boy as a former name? João Félix.
But we've had this argument here. That's not what we are talking about. We've had this argument. He complained about how the squad was bloated and things. We've said it all. Exactly. But me, I'm saying that from Potter to Posh, right? From Potter to Posh, that's 2 seasons. Are they lying?
No, that's 1 season. Potter was sacked.
No, Potter had one season, right?
He was sacked in March. And then they brought Lampard, and Lampard finished out the season. And then...
Relax. Cool down. The guy finished like 2 months before the season ended, right?
Yes.
He was sacked 2 months before the season ended. So he had a full season. I don't like this semantics.
How can he have the full season? When he came in, we had already played like... We were like match week 3 or match week 2 of Champions League. So how can I have a full season?
Okay. Porter and Lampard had one season.
Aha. Uh-huh. Good. No, in fact, you are.
Post had one season.
Good. On.
Smiley, wait. On.
Smiley, you can finish this. One season, uh-huh. Right?
Uh-huh.
Porter and Lampard had one season. Are they lying?
Tuchel, Porter, Lampard, one season, yes.
It's nonsense. No, I'm not adding Tuchel. Right? Fine. One
Porter,
season.
Porter, Lampard, one season. Good.
Where Post two had one season, right?
Watch also one season, one full season, yes.
So two seasons,
yes.
So I just said in the 2 seasons,
yes,
you buy players who will sell.
We buy players who will sell. So make a start. First person.
The sell, players you buy these 2 seasons, who you sell?
Koulibaly.
Fofana Gusu Oho. Hey, Massa.
Ah, we didn't do about Koulibaly the summer that they came in. Why you didn't do like they were? Why you did that? Aubameyang, you gone.
Okay, man.
Why you did? Why you did?
Yeah, you know about Aubameyang last season. Stop that.
No.
Last 2 seasons, you know about Aubameyang. You know about Aubameyang? No player under Aubameyang player under Graham Potter.
Yes. AC Milan versus Chelsea 3-0. Go check. Aubameyang was
okay,
signed.
Two. You mentioned, okay, you mentioned two. You mentioned two. You mentioned two. Who again?
I forgot the rest of the players. Jao Felix moved back to wherever he came from.
He was alone. I know Adam. He was alone. I know Adam, the main player.
See,
so that's all. Let's continue.
Conversation.
Okay.
Moving on to Man United. So, usual fashion, they lost 3-0 to Liverpool on Saturday night. Now, for Man United, the situation is a bit different from what Chelsea are going through because there haven't been too many changes at Man United. It's still the same manager and everything. So I think there's more cause for concern that things are continuing from where they left off last season. Even though, for one, you could say that there are still a lot of key players missing, but obviously for Liverpool too, there are also key players missing, and they still managed to win 3-0. On the other hand, United created more chances during the game. The performance was better all round, but Liverpool were more clinical. So this one, I'm going to crack with this one.
I have a question. Just one question. Then
what be the question?
You can add it to crack, the and then you can go on. Would you say, because you say there's been a lot more stability and not movement, but I think the coaching staff, they've added a lot more people, like three or four new additional coaches and things. Could that also be a factor? Just adding that to the question you're going to ask, that crack is going to ask again. Do you think that could also be a factor why United don't seem to be maybe creating chances or not putting away their chances or whatever it is? Because now you have 2 coaches waiting for help, the strikers, Ruud van Nistelrooy, then unless what be his name? The South African guy. Sorry, I forget his name.
Benny McCarthy is gone.
Oh, he's gone. Okay. So fine. Then you have just one then. So do you think the new coaches have, and I think they added 2 or 3 new guys. Do you think that's also and also the lack of transfer activity? Right now that they're taking the things out of the hands of Ten Hag, how do you guys feel about that? In terms of the targets you're going for, how you're negotiating, I'm impressed by some of your negotiations so far, to be fair. And like the value you've placed on players and how you don't want to move away from the value. But how do you guys feel about that overall?
So in terms of the attacking situation, for one, like honestly, this preseason we don't have strikers. Like the one match where Hoyland can't play, he scored goal where he hit shortly after that. So we've basically been playing without a striker. In the Liverpool game, it was Sancho who was leading the line. He doesn't do much to stretch the defense. Like, you can't really coach a proper attack with somebody like that over there. The other option is Ethan Wheatley, who is an academy, 18-year-old, 19-year-old academy boy. So, like, in attack, it's unfortunate because you'd like to coach certain certain patterns of play and things with their attack. But when you have people like that, you can't really do much, because whenever Hoyland and Zegzi come back, they are going to play a completely different way to whatever it is we are seeing right
now. Is Zegzi already injured?
No, he's now come from vacation.
He didn't join the squad for preseason. He just came to sign contract, take salary, and go on vacation. Fair enough.
He was in the Netherlands squad.
Even people that were in the final are back this weekend. So why
isn't he's back? He didn't join the US tour.
Oh, so he's in Manchester.
Why?
He's in Manchester.
Oh, okay.
Why people don't get tickets for him?
He was going to have just like 2 days to train before the next game. Like, there wasn't enough time for him to train and participate in the game. So
he don't need that.
Came back from all the people reported back for a preseason training at the beginning of last week. They just went to Manchester. They didn't go to US. So yeah, in terms of the attack, I think from the reports we are seeing, Van Nistelrooy is doing a lot of good work with the attackers, but the work there, training ground different from what they do for the back top. And until the strikers too come in, the other attackers come, because so far the only attacker who I'm 100% sure that will be a regular, I'm hoping would be a regular starter is Ahmad. Rashford himself, his place is not assured, because if things continue the way they went last season, it's very likely that he'll be behind Garnacho in the pecking order.
How's he looking in preseason, though?
Rashford.
Yeah, Rashford.
Rashford, me, if I talk, like, my opinion might be biased, because, like, he looks active.
He looks sharp.
You see, the thing about Rashford is that me, yes, he looks sharp, he looks active, he's involved, but it's like, those things that me, for somebody who I watch him for all this while, like, I know that it's not going to end up with anything. Like, he'll be busy about nothing. So, like, for somebody else, you could talk, say, yeah, he's being active, he's being proactive, he's running a lot, he's doing this. But me, as certain balls where he gets, I don't say, oh, this one, you know, we'll end up with anything. So even if you go, so for somebody who talk, say, oh, yeah, he took this shot, he looked very threatening and stuff. But I don't say, Charlie, not, it no go end up anywhere.
What about Siam, man? Expensive player. Chelsea regrets selling him. Senior number 7 player, history maker, always wanted to join the club, Mason Mount. How's he looking?
Actually, he's had, I think, 2 good performances. That I think the Arsenal game, and then the Betis game. He looked a bit promising.
Last season.
The injuries and things, like, there was never really too much consistency. But the thing is that his own too is similar to Rashford. It's like, I see him doing a lot, but at the same time,
a lot of nothing. He has said a whole lot of nothing.
In fact, I'll put 3 players in that category: Rashford, Mount, and Sancho, all the English boys. I should say, like, if you clip together their highlights from preseason, you could talk, say, hey, Charlie, some nice touches there, some nice this. But in the end, if you actually watch the game, you see that it's not really leading to much. Like, it's not very impactful, especially with Sancho. He doesn't do too much impactful work on the pitch. Mm. He just has a lot of nice touches that would be nice if you clip some 6 seconds, put for the tail top, then go talk, Charlie, hey, see that skill Sancho do, then things on. But like, if you watch the game, you see, it won't be anything. So, yeah.
What about Saudi-bound Carlos Casemiro?
That guy is a problem. It's a big problem. Honestly, like, the fan belt tear, the shocks make weak, everything be bad. Like, see the go away, then score on them, like, then just turn them.
Value just, you know, make you sit down.
Like, I never see, like, then turn them away, it make like, he just give up, say, nah, this one, I'm not going to fit.
Say, fuck, Akolana Hame, fuck.
Yeah. So, yeah, Casemiro too is another problem. Like, I don't know how we are going to solve that problem. And if we can't get rid of him, the best way to use him would be as a box-to-box midfielder, and then pair him with an actual DM, because he can't do that DM job again. He can't cover ground again. He can't do the work that we're expecting from a DM anymore. So unless he play what mainly they play for the team inside, and then you get an energetic person next to him to cover more ground, because every now and then Casemiro too, he can give a few nice passes and things, but that's not what we need from him. So yeah,
I want to.
I'm not going to read too much.
I want to ask about. I know you want to talk about the defense, but I want to zone in on one guy in your defense. I've not watched all your matches. Yesterday, I tried to watch the. I watched the first half of the Liverpool game, and there was one guy who I think looked really good. That your kid of a left back.
Harry Amas.
I don't know his name, but that guy looked really good. How you feeling about him? Because me, I know Ten Hag. This one where he falls like this, the next we go here and then the loan arm goes on. The last season too, that's what you do. Then you get some other kiddie B today in the play level. I hear no, either you sell him
Zidane Igba.
No.
You sell him 1 million pepper.
It not be him. Last year there was somebody at left back. Before
Alvaro Fernandez.
No, be Zidane, Alvaro.
They take and go low, or they sell him like 500,000 or something crazy like that.
But
right now they sell him to Benfica 6 million.
They sell him. So basically, this Amas guy, he gather market give him basically make he just go.
I don't think so. From the talk we've heard, apparently one of the reasons why they sold Alvaro is that it feels like Amas has more potential. Me, I don't agree with that one. Alvaro, I see him as a very, very top talent. The fact that Benfica have come for him, they can't repackage him and sell him to somebody else on 60 million or something. But yeah, Amas, he looks promising. I'm inclined to compare him to Alvaro. Alvaro, I feel, is a more intelligent player. Amas is more of a typical English physical. He can do the running. He give you a lot of crunching tackles. I still feel Alvaro was a better talent. But yeah, he's also a very good prospect. He has a few shades of Luke Shaw in him.
The way he controls the ball before he plays it, like he gets across. When Shaw comes back, they'll say, no, I know Shaw. It'll be Shaw in Kiliba. But
he can be groomed, and he had a few moments where like he managed to handle Salah, like a 17-year-old left back playing against Mo Salah. So like he managed to handle a few moments. Of course, Salah turned him a few times too, but I mean he also managed to win some balls off him. So like it was an impressive performance from him. So,
sorry.
I don't think he's ready to start.
Be my United. That's why me had the biggest question. I want this question to go to Crack. Crack, talk to me about Aaron Spider-Man Wan-Bissaka. How's he looking in preseason?
This guy can hijack the thing. They ask, they every day, last one. So he answer like four last ones.
Like 10.
Oh, you want me to talk about Bissaka? He's basically gone.
They want to sell him, they came to buy the Maguire guy from Bayern, right? How do you feel about that?
Look, let me tell you something. I love Spider, but he's not a good fit for us. I know when he goes to a lower team, he's going to perform very well, and some stupid fans are going to come back. This is why you don't sell players. Look, United fans have a problem of moving on from players, and I hate that nonsense. Like, I hate it so much. You want new players, but you don't want to get away from the deadwood. And you have this stupid affinity to the deadwood. And when the season starts and they are being shit, they blame the club for not selling them. Are you dumb? Like, how do you improve if you don't move on from players? How do you improve your squad if you don't even sell to get something from them? Like, you're always complaining, we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. Look, in a team like United, I always say, it's nice when you have a player that can defend one-on-one. But it's better if you have a player that can go into the box, give a cross, pick a pass, handle the ball well. Look, defense can always take care of itself once you have a shape. Once you have a shape, you have a strategy, you have a formation, knowing one goes, one covers, and all those things. You can always reduce one-on-one. How many defenders are good 1v1? Think about it. How many defenders are good 1v1? But their team is so good that they still win. They still win, what's the name? They still win matches. Look at Trent. We don't know Trent is not good 1v1. How many right backs will you choose over Trent? Only one that I can choose over Trent. I don't choose Walker over Trent. I've always said this before. The only player I'll choose over Trent is the Chelsea right back. What's his name?
Sorry, but we have Reece two. James. We have two that I will choose over. Hey, sorry.
Charlie. Nasa, Charlie. You understand? Reece James is the most complete right back I know in England right now. I know is better than all of them. I'm not going to lie. That one day I'll say it. I've always said it. But injuries, Inti, he can't make it. So me, this one Bissaka thing that I hate the way fans are moving, like, oh, why are you moving on from Spider? Why wouldn't you saw this before Spider? Why? You're not lucky you have a market for Spider safe. That's somebody who won't take him. Spider be my boy. Me, I like him. Because I know, say, if you catch you one-on-one, he go eat you. But for some, but he has weakness in defending the last post. When there's cross, he always has zero timing. They always steal from behind and they head the ball. It's as if he doesn't know where the player is or even can't head the ball well. There are times where his lapses causes us because he believes he has long legs. He plays players onside. I can point out so many times that shit has happened. But then he had zero to the attack. He struggles to control the ball. He struggles to play. He has done his part. He can go. The idea for bringing him under Ole is different from all these coaches. Ole was focused on wing play. But he wasn't really focused more on his defenders coming, his fullbacks being in the final third, or the winger coming to defend well. Anytime we move, we have a stagnant back four with Bissaka being there, or sometimes being the last man of defense. That's the idea he had, but we've moved on. Different coaches have come. So I don't understand why people are... And talking about Hamas, I know... It's not Ten Hag that is going to make the decision. I know. We've put proper football people in place now. That the decision is not going to be solely on Ten Hag when it comes to development of players or who to promote to the first team enters. Because trust me, this guy doesn't like to rotate. You only play a player when the player there is injured and can't play. If the player is 50%, if you play him ahead of a player who is 100%, we know him. Lack of rotation caused that last season. He will play you till you can't no more. And right now, there's no synergy amongst the players because they don't know how to play together. That's not how to build a team. That's not how to play. Another thing, you're talking about a striker decision, like in terms of we bringing Ruud van Nistelrooy on to help the striker today. Our strikers haven't been available to be helped. Hoyland can play one game injured. He's gone for 2 months. Or 6 weeks. Sexy Man is still in Manchester. We've not seen him this preseason. We have Sancho, who I want him sold already to PSG. He's the one leading our attack. Because right now, we made our mind that Rashford is never striking. So you should forget. Almost has striking. Don't forget it. So when it comes to us, unlike teams like Chelsea that keep on parading their full 11 and since, we still give youth a chance and most of our senior players are on holidays and things, so you can't really have a full feel of that. And I'm not so much concerned because our coach is not a new coach. People are eager to see the Liverpool coach. People are eager to see the Chelsea coach. We and Arteta, for crying out loud, last season we beat Arteta. Last 2 seasons we beat Arteta in preseason. He still finished better than us. So preseason is never really a direct mark on anything. It doesn't show any progress. I never read preseason personally. Because if Liverpool fans are talking about day beating us, yeah, we've still won our annual preseason trophy. We win preseason trophy already. That's what they do. So if they want to talk about it, we can even talk about that. But I'm not putting too much talk into preseason. Another thing, you mentioned Casemiro. I'm done with him. I don't even want to talk about him. I don't even want to waste breath on him. Who again you don't want to talk about? I think you mentioned another person. Look, this is a fair warning to that stupid goalkeeper I have. Last season, we endured his nonsense. This season, he has started with his antics and it will not cut it. You are not good enough to be pulling such stupid stance. I hope he stays in preseason and he stays over there. Because that guy is part of our problem. And that Santo Man, one day you pay for his crime because I believe most of the players we signed last season, he has a share in it. And nobody can change my mind. From Antonio Tinsel, your man gets shares for inside. We are the top. he gets shares for the players we buy last season inside. Because some of them, he didn't get the same agent and agency and things. So me, I always talk them for investigate that Sam Thoman. As for Amas, as I said, he's going to get his chance. He's going to get opportunities because United don't buy any left back. Even if we buy the right back, Dalot and him will play. Even if he plays, sometimes Dalot can play the left back position as well. So not too much pressure on Amas. She gets it. So I think he will, but selling this guy hates me. He hates me. I worry. He hates me badly because I really like that boy and he had a bright future. You know those left back where they get ball sense, right? When to pass, when to move, when to dribble. That was that boy.
Young game, like, people's
that was that boy. Yeah, that boy. He didn't have pace, but he uses this. He times well. So beating him was always hard. He's not going to enter into a foot race with you. You know, when defenders way, before you go try thing, I've thought. He took the ball away already. Then kind defense on. He's not going to. You know that in there, that one Bissaka thing, they take into the box, then they take into the box. That's not what the boy they do. So he really paid me, say, we even sold him for just 6 million. Are you mad? We don't know. One thing about United, we don't know how they sell talent at all. We don't know how to sell players at all. City, the sell unknown academy boy for 25 million. Please, you have to investigate them. There's something going on with how these people sell their players. I'm not going to lie.
Always 20. But then we are 20 plus 5. 10 plus
yes.
5. Yes. It never
be always, there's no, plus, 5. Plus 5. Yeah. Me, I don't say that plus 5. If they rather they pay to the club, me, I'm telling you. They rather they pay to the buying club. I'm telling you, something to go on. They take 2 books. Because why are we struggling to sell McTominay? For 25 million, McTominay. We say we want 30 million safe. By and by, Dortmund, now Dortmund is car. Dortmund buy Academy World City. 20 plus 5. But nothing we get off. So, me, this season, not so much. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie. If we don't change our fitness coach, we're still going to have fitness issues. And we've not changed them. And we've seen it already. I know this guy's Euro, it wasn't the fault of nobody. Sometimes it happens. But Hoyland, we are back with hamstring. Rashford is gone as well. Anthony, I mean, nobody cares, but he's still gone as well. And with this coach that doesn't like rotation, the pressure is going to pile up again, and I know people are going to go. So, yes, you made mention of Ahmad, Abidjan Messi. This season, he needs to play matches. The kid is good. The boy is good. I don't know what he had. Look, people might disagree, but he's the reason we won the FA Cup last season.
The last minute sometimes, goal against Coventry.
And the one against Liverpool.
It's Liverpool, not Coventry.
See, I know people always focus on the finals and what somebody does in the finals and not so much on the build-up before the finals. But bro, he was the reason because most of the matches he got it in the cup matches. And in those matches, we did very well. When this guy comes on, you see a winger who knows how to take care of the ball, who knows when to pass, when to dribble, and when to move. Sometimes you need players just like that. Not somebody stupid progressive ball going to the corner trying to do samba dance for YouTube and then he falls down. He needs to play. When you play, Ole will tell you that football is easy when you have quality players. And it's true. I always value players that think. I always value players that think. And if you have players that think, put them together, they'll figure it out. So that's how come I actually want him to get more matches.
So it's time for the Who Am I segment. And for those listening on audio, once again, this is exclusive on our YouTube page. So yeah, we've come to the end of this episode. Once again, thank you again for joining us. If you haven't done this already, follow us on the Twitter is now defunct for now. So follow us on Instagram, ATW Podcast.
Thanks to Chelsea fans.
Thanks, Chelsea fans. On TikTok is After the Whistle. You can subscribe to our YouTube After the Whistle podcast. And also remember, our audio platforms are still there. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you go find podcasts, we get there. Charlie, guys, thank you again for joining us. And also, before we go, voting is still ongoing for the APVA Podcast Awards. So we'll post the link. The link was posted with our We'll post the link with our personal account so that you guys can go and vote for us. So yeah, APV Awards, vote for our sports podcast of the year.
By the way, APV once again, African Podcast and Voices. Thank you.
Africa Podcast and Voices. Yeah. So yeah, Charlie guys, thank you again for joining us. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.
This has been a Gold Coast Reports production. Catch up on episodes and discover more shows from our network on listen to gcr.com.